Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process I call diaprax, which is the very opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Actually, the second part of Proverbs 3, 5, leaning to your own understanding, is diaprax. It's found in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And if you listen to the prior program, I went into some depth, correlating, showing you how the dialectic is found there. It's thesis, God's position, antithesis, your feelings in opposition to it. And synthesis is you're able to bond with the creation, identify with the creation using a tool that God has given us, which is evaluation. See, we're to bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're to weigh everything in our life. We're to evaluate, but from God's standard. But what Satan was able to do was get Eve to be like God, to evaluate. Remember, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good, spiritually, but she evaluated from the flesh. See, because she looked at the material world and found that there was nothing wrong with the tree. Well, the issue wasn't the tree, it was God's command over the tree. It's the cookies. You give your child, you lay two cookies out there and you say, well, this is my cookie and not your cookie. They're identical, two cookies, you know, made from the same batch. And your child then is going to eat the one, and that's fine. And then looks at the other one, gets a little hungry and says, oh, you know, I can taste that cookie. There's that touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. And I can smell that cookie and might touch it, and you know, but it's dad's cookie. And then the uncle comes along and says, oh, you know, he loves you. You know, God is a God of love, you know, and you know, he'll overlook it. He'll understand. And that, folks, it's that simple. I mean, why would God be upset with this one tree? It was a patriarchal paradigm. He's a holy and pure and righteous God, and he's called us to walk in holiness and pureness and righteousness before him. And therein, the dialectic is a process where we can look at the cookie, look at the tree, and say, there's nothing wrong with the tree. It's not going to hurt me. You know, Dad said if I ate of it, I'm going to get hurt. No, it's not going to hurt me. There's nothing wrong with the tree. It's good for food, and it's pleasing to the eyes. And in fact, Uncle said, if I ate it, you know, I can really think for myself. I'm going to be just like my parents. They can think for themselves. That's the pride of life. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. All that's of the world. That's what the uncle just did. Got the child to praxis the dialectical process. Do diaprax. And the child eats it, and the parent comes in, and the parent chastens the child. Says, no, that's wrong. And the child says, well, it doesn't make any sense. You don't love me. You don't understand. You don't think dialectic. You don't think like the devil. Well, here are leads. That's a good lead-in because, see, we're going to talk about Eric Fromm, Bloom's Taxonomy, every teacher. I keep saying this, folks, I want to grab you and shake you. Do you understand every certified teacher in this nation has to be trained in the methods of Satan to use in the classroom with your children, your future elected officials, your future judges, your future police, your future whoever it is, military, everyone in society? The process says it's not successful until no one can escape. Everybody is guilty until they participate in the process. And Eric Fromm, who Bloom says is our worldview, here is the spirit of it. In his book, which Bloom doesn't refer to, but here's the spirit of Eric Fromm that Bloom builds from, his Weltanschauung. He says in his book, You Shall Be as Gods, in the process of history, man gives birth to himself. See, God is not our creator. We create ourselves. We look at, and it's a process of history. You have to understand, the dialectical view of history isn't from a right-wrong perspective. See, we tend to, us traditional, patriarchal, didactic thinking believers, look at the world from God's standard. There is right and there's wrong. And so we go back to Babylonia. We go back to all the way back as far as we can study history. And we evaluate man from right and wrong from God's perspective. But that's not dialectic. That's didactic. That's a premise. You have an a priori. Here's right. And then you do your evaluation of the situation using logic. And then your outcome, whatever behavior you're looking at, is based right or wrong based upon whether it agreed or disagreed with the premise, with God's command. That's true traditional history. But now history is man becoming, man is discovering himself. This is for the last 100 years. This is what the history books have gone through. It's not American history anymore. It's socialist propaganda. And so history is now your environment you were raised in. That's the taxonomy. That's Bloom. Were you raised in a traditional environment where you're told this is right and that is not? Now, I have to know your history. I have to know what environment you came from before I can change you. Because I'm going to put your child or your legislator or you in the workplace or wherever, I'm going to put you in a diverse group in a crisis. Now, the crisis isn't to fix the bridge. That's an external dissatisfaction. That's something that everybody wants to cross, and so we can all come together and decide, you know, who's the engineer? We can be very facts-based, find the engineer. He gives us a projection of cost and how it's going to look and all that, and we can say yay or nay. And then it comes to our budget, we can say yay or nay, and then everybody can participate. But up till then, it's the experts. We want to get, you know, the competition and who has the best price and who makes the product the best. And we sort of balance those out because sometimes the best is too expensive, but we don't want the cheapest because that thing's going to fall apart in 2 years. But see, that's, you're going to the facts-based history. But this dialectical history is there, that you're in that meeting with a facilitator with the role of fixing you. Now, if you have a chairman with Robert's Rules of Order, he's going to allow you 10 minutes to defend your position. He doesn't want dialogue. He wants you to share your position, your thesis, the other person to share their position, their thesis. He might be opposite from you, but everybody goes yay or nay on one or the other based upon what's right and wrong in their minds. You see, that's limited government. Now, the town council might want to, in their dreams, create this world of a social village, beloved community, and they don't like the community coming up with a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, biblical outcome, a win-lose situation. And so they'll bring in a facilitator, practice the very same process as Satan practiced on Eve, the praxis of the dialectic. And what he's going to do is he's going to use your dissatisfaction to hire authority. Because, see, the town council's under your authority. Now, they can make decisions, but they know that they're not going to be in around next term if they go against what you have said. And you can actually undo some of the things that they've wanted to do. So they want to stay in office. And the only way they can do that is to seduce and deceive and manipulate you. So they'll bring in a facilitator and say, well, we're having too much division in a community, so we need to talk about things. We'll break you up into little tables and ask you how you feel and what you think, and you're sitting there going, well, you know, it doesn't really matter how I feel or what I think. This is the way it should be. This is the way that the bridges are built. We need the expert in here. We need to find out the budget. Let's get to the facts. Oh, no, we're not going to get right to the facts. What we're going to do is we're going to work together as a community. We're going to build relationship with one another. Well, you know what that means? That means we're going to get everybody's ought to be out. Your ought to be comes when your parents said you couldn't do something, and you try to get them in dialogue. Well, why? To get them equal, get them out of that top-down patriarchal system, right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, I'm above, you're below. And they won't go into equality because they say, because I said so. And then the natural language for you and me and everyone, when we've been blocked from our heart's desire, our dopamine, you know, stimulated world, you know, the environment stimulates the dopamine. Our friends are going to go out to the park and play, and they're going to have some fun. There's dopamine, and you want to go with them. And besides, they're your future, and a parent says you can't go. And you say, well, I ought to be able to go. And that's what the facilitator wants, is your dissatisfaction to your parents, the wife's dissatisfaction to the husband, the children's dissatisfaction to the parents, the husband's dissatisfaction to the boss, everybody's dissatisfaction to a higher authority, because he's going to use that dissatisfaction to negate, to destroy the patriarchal paradigm. So the issue isn't to fix the bridge with a facilitator. He's using the bridge crisis to fix you. He's there like Satan to fix Adam and Eve from a top-down system to what can I get out of this situation for myself? I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. See, that's the simplicity. That's the history. So they have to find out through the crisis situation. They map the room. Bloom's taxonomy is teaching that even the first graders how to map the room. Who are people of worth? These are the people who are the thinkers. Like Eve was thinking, looking at the situation, evaluating the situation for what's good and evil for the moment. And then there are those who are stuck in the rut. You know, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, all those negative people. This is the way we've always done it in the past. The relics of the past. These are the people who resist change. These are the negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, low order thinkers, an aggressor, a blocker, a dominator, all the attributes of God. And we must wash them from the community. We must wash them from the group think. We must wash them from the Bible studies, because they come in and they keep saying, God says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And somebody else wants to go, well, I feel and I think, and you have to bring a facilitator to resolve the conflict, and eventually everybody's going, I feel and I think, and we have apostasy, we have treason, we have heresy everywhere you turn. So that's what he was saying here. In the process of history, in man discovering himself, man gives birth to himself. Irvin Yalom says, in group, isn't it amazing that everybody is born again in the group? And then Eric Fromm goes on, he says he becomes what he potentially is. What is in you? That's a flesh. There's your potential. There's the law of the flesh. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And you know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That is what the whole UN, World Council, New World Order is built off of. That's the only platform, folks. Now, there's no lust in this if you get rid of God's law. Do you understand that? It's God's law says it's lust. Because God says, it's okay to eat of these trees, not to eat of that tree, but you eat of that tree, he says, well, it's the lust of the flesh. But if God's law is negated, that's all Satan did with Eve. Because she says, oh, you know, I ought to be able to touch it, lest ye die. And then, oh, you won't die. He got rid of the law. And now she doesn't go, will too. And he goes, will not, will too, will not. There's no antithesis anymore. No right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell anymore. It is, she's looking at the tree. She is now free from God's law. She is now, folks, the charlatan has her. She's possessed with the cosmos. The restraint, you know, God's restraint is removed. You know, God will remove his restrainer. Why? Because nobody recognizes his law anymore. Nobody fears God. Because the potential lies within her. See, she discovered her full potential in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, your child can only discover their full potential when they are free from your restraints in the home, telling your child they can't do this and they can't do that. And so when Eric Fromm says, man becomes what he potentially is, and here's what he is saying, and I don't know how I can get this across, folks. This is the very essence of Bloom's taxonomy, and man attains what the serpent. Who's Fromm's hero? Who is the dialectic's hero? Where do we find the dialectical process? Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Who's the facilitator? Who's the deliverer? Who's the emancipator? Who's the who's the one who's setting man free from God to discover his full potential? To discover his identity amongst the world, in the world. You know, we're to be in the world, but not of it. This is of the world. And Eric Fromm, the foundation for Bloom's taxonomy, every teacher in your community is trained on this structure, how to use this curriculum in the classroom to deliver the parent and the children, or the parents of the future, from accountability to higher authority. And man attains what the serpent, the symbol of wisdom and rebellion. What's the rebellion? Oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You know, when you said that, you didn't turn to your parents and say, oh, I love you from keeping me from doing what I want to do. No, you didn't. That was a spirit of rebellion. You might actually turn around and say, well, I hate you. I hope you never said that. But there's that feeling of hate. Folks, you have to understand, when we go to this homosexual pedophile bestiality, which we already are as a culture, there is a spirit of hate, hate of God, hate of any restraint. The hate crime today is a hate against those who hate sin. It is a hate against God of all, and you'll see that as I go through these quotes of these men who laid down our cultural paradigm today. You know, let's call it a culture war. It's a destruction of a patriarchal culture. And so who's Fromm's hero, the symbol, Satan, the symbol not only of rebellion but of wisdom? Eve is wise. She's looking at the tree. She can evaluate. It is good, it is good, it is good. Bloom's taxonomy starts with knowing, see, with God. Now, I won't go through Satan's paradigm on this. I'll go through God's knowing. He just told you can't go out. He just told you not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Comprehending. The parent looks a child in the eye and says, do you understand what I just said? Now, every child has actual revelation. There is an understanding. That, you know, it's not an experiential understanding per se as far as understanding the why, you know, the details. They just understand if they do, they're going to be chastened. Do you understand what I just said? Every child can understand that. That's comprehending. And then application, a child might decide to go out. And then the analysis is, as a child's going to the woodshed, you know, chastening is taking place, then they know how important knowing is. That's the old classroom. That's the old traditional patriarchal system. But Bloom goes to synthesis, which means every child must sin. Get this, folks. You use Bloom's taxonomy, even in a Christian school. Every child must practice sin. Every child, every teacher, every administrator must practice sin. You have to practice sin. And I'm going to give you those quotes. The quotes from the liberals who said we must go back into the garden and sin again. If you want to study Sigmund Freud, you must go back into the garden and sin again. This is his hero. This is Bloom's taxonomy's hero, the symbol of wisdom, of liberating yourself from godly restraint. And Fromm writes, and he attains, and man attains, a child attains, everybody in the culture attains what the serpent promised. And what the patriarchal, jealous God of Adam did not wish, that man could be like God himself, the evaluator. And with Bloom, you go from synthesis to evaluation. Everybody on the face of the earth must evaluate through the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and make sure everybody in the community is getting it. And if somebody's in the community saying, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, it is written. See, then they're the negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, lower thinkers. They're the resistors to change. They're the ones causing dissension in the fellowship of the brotherhood of the church. And that's all from this process, the dialectical process. And so here's what Bloom says. He does the taxonomy. Page 166, he says, in a more traditional society, a philosophy of life, a mode of conduct, is spelled out for its members at an early stage in their lives. So what is this traditional society? See, you're inculcating to your children not only content, not only the facts, you're inculcating they must self-discipline themselves. They have to humble themselves. They have to deny themselves. And they have to be accountable to higher authority. That's a way of thinking. A mode of conduct. He says a major function of education in such a society is to achieve the internalization of this philosophy. In other words, he's saying this way of thinking. Now, philosophy actually is temporal. It's of the world. It's man trying to figure out the restraints, why he can't do something that in his own mind he should be able to do. But they cannot accept the word of God as truth. And you'll see this later on. They have to treat every truth and every ideal as an opinion. As a facet of philosophy. And so he's saying, okay, this traditional form of education is inculcating facts and truth, the Bible, the math, whatever it is that is established for all times into the next generation. So that's the lowest end of the taxonomy. By the way, you have to train people how to identify these people so that they don't depend upon them for the future. How to marginalize them and neutralize them first by getting everybody's input. See, I can you know how to fix a bridge, and you come into town hall meeting and I will ask, you know, I won't say, well, who in this room knows how to fix a bridge? You'd be the only one speaking. But I would instead say the answers are in the question, remember? And I would ask how do people feel about this bridge issue? Everybody can participate. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about us working together on this? And what do you think? A fifth grader can say, well, I think it should be pink. Everybody can participate in Genesis 3, 1 through 6 and deliver ourselves from the restraints of the past. Actually, they use that because if you're on a dialectical process, it's only the past and the future. With God, there's above and below. There's a good road and a bad road. There's a right road and a wrong road. But they can't accept the right and wrong, see, because there's chastening then. In Bloom's taxonomy, the first book, he says on page 32, we recognize the point of view. In other words, this is where we're going. There is no right or wrong. There are no lasting truths for all times and all places. Karl Marx said, in the eyes of the dialectical philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. And so what is Bloom saying here? He's saying in the traditional society, there are set truths. Because then there's the right to chasten. If there is no right or wrong, you don't have the right to chasten. My mom taught in a one-room schoolhouse. She could spank the children. Then when they went to the ball-bearing factory, they'd separate the kids. You know why they separated the kids? We thought, well, it was age-appropriate. No, so the younger wouldn't tell on the older, because it used to be in the one-room schoolhouse with when the older misbehaved, the younger would go home and tell on them, and it kept that patriarchal top-down system intact. They had to break that up so they could get the kids of the same age with the same oddities, the same experience of dissatisfaction to their parents together. And we thought, well, it was age appropriate. Well, no, it was simply made it easier to map the room and process the kids for the changing of society. Now, these social engineers will defend their agenda to the death because why? They're rebellious children. They hate God. They might say, well, we love God, but they've turned agape into eros and call it agape. Well, and then Bloom explains. Now, he's going to go to Eric Fromm as this worldview. He says, this is not to suggest that education in an open society. Now, remember before he said traditional, he should have said transformational here, but then your eyes would have been open. See, as you read these social psychology books, this is really heady stuff. It takes years to decode this stuff. And so undergraduate students, I'm sure today most of them can grubble through it because they've learned so much of it in the lower grades. But 40 years ago, this was foreign language. It wasn't until your master's or definitely your doctorate's level that you could flow in understanding what this was all about. And even then, I doubt it. You know, I would question that they truly understood unless they were really committed. I've met people who have doctorate's degrees in education, and I feel sorry for them. They don't know how deceived they are. They've been ripped off. Then he writes, this is not to suggest that education in an open, should have been closed. See, closed-minded. God is closed-minded. It's a closed system with God. This is an open-ended system, you know, general systems theory. He says, in an open-ended system does not attempt to develop personal and social values. It does indeed. In other words, we have values as well. And David Crathwell later in another book, he says, you know what we need is, we're not against prejudice. We just have to have the appropriate prejudice. There's a right prejudice and a wrong prejudice. The right prejudice is human relationship. If you're over here traditional thinking, we can prejudge you because you're maladjusted. You're resisting change. But the inappropriate is those who come in and say, this is right and that is not. God is an inappropriate, or Christians or believers, really believers, have an inappropriate prejudice. Only humanists have an appropriate prejudice. Now, continuing with Bloom, he says, but more than in a traditional society, this education system, allows the individual a greater amount of freedom in which to achieve a worldview, a Weltanschauung, the German word he uses, Weltanschauung. What's allowed into the classroom? The effective domain. This is out of the effective domain. And Bloom says, we have opened up Pandora's box on page 91. Pandora's box is a box full of evils. What comes out of the heart of man? That which proceeds from the heart of man is an abomination. See, the heart is deceitful above all things. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trusted them. Eve wasn't deceived because Satan lied to her. He was deceived because she trusted him. You have to understand that this relationship with the creation is powerful within us. Not only is it deceitful, it is desperately wicked. I call it the shopping list of iniquity. Out of the heart of men proceed. And you can read the scriptures, sections of them, on all the abomination, all the wickedness that comes out of this sweet, caring, wonderful heart that socialism, communism, globalism is all built upon. It is built upon the heart of men. That's why you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in men. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. But Bloom says, we're going to trust in man. We're going to make man our standard. And he says, to get you into this new worldview is often too challenging a goal for the individual to achieve on his own. This is a footnote at the bottom before he mentions Theodore Adorno and Eric Fromm. It's too hard for you to do it on your own, because when your parents said, you can't go out, you can't come, you can't turn around and kick them and shoot them and get rid of them. Now, that was what Marx was all about. That's what Lenin was all about. Shoot them out there. See, the kulaks were just good old Iowa-type farmers. This is my field and you bail it my way. Those were people who were killed by the millions. They were the cannots and must-nots and thou shalt nots patriarchal. Look at Columbine. I spoke with a young man who was shot 5 times at Columbine. Every young child or young woman or man who was shot there, they were patriarchal. They were right and wrong. They were win and lose in their character. And those doing the shooting were heresiarchal. They were fascists, but you have to understand the only difference between fascism and communism is national and communism is global. In fact, the transformational Marxists considered communist China and communist Russia as fascists because they went national and not global. They lost the vision. And so, Bloom, why am I talking about these guys? This is Bloom's foundation. Erich Fromm and Theodor Adorno were Marxists, hard-line, transformational Marxists, out to kill and destroy the traditional home in America, every home in this nation, every top-down system, every father who rules, and the desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband, and children obey their parents in the Lord. That must be annihilated. Marx says, once that system is discovered to be God's secret, that traditional home must be annihilated. From the face of the earth, both in theory, that means we have to get the children into dialogue, sharing their dissatisfactions, just like Satan got Eve to practice. That's child protective services. I call them pedophiles, because when you do this process, as Freud actually explains, you practice incest. Irvin Yalom said you can sum up with Freud with two words, patricide, kill the fathers, so you can practice incest. That's consensus. Consensus is in your town hall meeting and even in the church, and I hear conservatives use that word. We come together on a sensuous, on the flesh. No, there's confirmation. God says, and there's a yay or a nay. That's not consensus. We are so cooked, folks. There's a book I call Human Relations and Curriculum Change. That's the title of it by Kenneth Manet. I call it a cookbook on humans. Everything I'm talking about is in that work. So I'm always trying to make this stuff simple, but folks, this is complex stuff. The gospel is simple. Being a child of God is simple. Trusting in Him with all your heart is simple. Leaning not to your own understanding. That's tough to do because that's our carnal mind. In all our ways, acknowledging Him, there's a price to pay. Jesus says, deny yourself. That's something you have to do to yourself and pick up your cross. That you confess Him into the community. You explain Him. You defend. You can't defend your word, but you give account. You're ready in season and out of season to share the word. To share, this is what God says. This is His word. It's His word that brings conviction, not your opinion of His word. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's painful today because we have a transformational society today that's all about change. That's a heresiarchal paradigm. And when you share truth with them today, they glaze over. They want everybody's opinion. They don't want you to come in and give you God's standards. You know, that's why they glaze over. And then eventually you're going to be marginalized because even your friends won't associate with you anymore and they glaze over. And eventually you're censored from any participation in the community. You shouldn't even have children. And if you have a large family, Wilhelm Reich said it was the large family in Germany that produced fascism. And so they came to America, the Maslow even, worshipped Wilhelm Reich, who was a perverse man, wicked man. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com. I have sections on Wilhelm Reich, how he was all about the destruction of the traditional home. Because why? It is God's secret. It teaches the next generation you're accountable to a higher authority. Has to be annihilated in America. That's what the health program is all about from our government today.